today on Real Radio.
In reality, Paul lays on them an extreme sarcasm. He really comes down on them, and it's very graphic. We'll go as far as we can this morning, but church, I got to tell you, what Paul says to them in chapter 4 is truly radical.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. In the first 14 verses of chapter 4, Paul goes a little bit deep. He starts off the section describing believers as servants and stewards. In other words, the believer is called to be a giver, not a taker. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called How Can We Serve You?
And Paul is speaking, and listen, his number one passion that you've already heard, but his number one passion was this, that he did not pretend to know anything among them ever, except this one thing, and that was Jesus Christ and Christ that is crucified. That the gospel was Jesus dying on the cross for the sins of the world and for the sins of the Corinthians there in Greece. And having laid that foundation, he began to speak to them. He first of all, in the opening chapter of chapter 1, he began to speak to them about their place and position with Christ. Chapter 2 and chapter 3, he began to speak to them about growing up. He talked to them about stop your divisions, stop your gossip and your backbiting of one another. And get along and stop being encamped in certain areas of the church that one group would say, well, we're of Paul and this group of Apollos and this group of Peter or this group of Christ. He said the church is not divided. The body of Christ is not divided. And then he came to chapter 3 and he announced to us, and we saw it last week, that the Lord does not delight to live or dwell in temples made with human hands. And that God himself tolerated the tabernacle wilderness wanderings of the Ark of the Covenant with Moses and the children of Israel. God tolerated that. And then when they crossed over into the land of Israel, and in due time God gave the construction plans to David and Solomon. Solomon's temple is built, and the Lord allowed himself to fill the temple with all of his glory. But he tolerated that for a season. He made the announcement, can you build me a house that I can dwell in? I don't dwell in homes or a temple made with human hands. And last week we saw that God's passion was that he would dwell in your life. That God's desire was to dwell in the heart of every true believer. That the real living temples of God are we who are Christians. The Bible says, filled and dwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so now, chapter 4, Paul, listen to this, levies upon them what are the most conservative commentators would say a sarcasm. In reality, Paul lays on them an extreme sarcasm. He really comes down on them, and it's very graphic. We'll go as far as we can this morning, but church, I got to tell you, what Paul says to them in chapter 4 is truly radical. The title of the message this morning is, How Can We Serve You? How can we serve you? Have you ever been to Chick-fil-A? Are those kids radical for Chick-fil-A? I mean, they just serve you. Do they not serve you? I've driven through Chick-fil-A with my dog with me. And my dog even got a doggy bone from Chick-fil-A through the drive-thru window. And have you heard, when you walk in there, do you hear they at these, how can I help you? Can I help you? And they're like back behind the counter, can I help you? Can I help you? Man, it's awesome. It's kind of like where I'd like to go to church. The service of all that. How can we serve you? Paul is going to be saying to the Corinthian church, how can we serve you? But how do you hear that? He is saying, how can we serve you? But he will also be saying, how can we serve you? Because there ain't no pleasing the church at Corinth. They had still in their minds a concept of what church should look like. And what church should look like to the Corinthian believer 2,000 years ago, sad to say, is not too far from the Southern California Christian. Pastor, what have you done for me lately? What has the church done for me lately? I'm going to go to this church to see what it can do for me. And that is not church. I know that comes as a shock because we have been so indoctrinated to pulling up, walking in, sitting down, and putting the worship team or the speaker, the pastor, the whoever, on a pedestal, not to honor them, but to judge them. It's a big deal in the Western church. And it's like this. I didn't really get much out of his message. I hear that a lot from people. I didn't really get much out of your message. You know what? Personally, I learned a long time ago something big time. I read it in a book by Charles Spurgeon. It was very cool. Charles Spurgeon says, if you think that your teaching abilities are pathetic, he says you can counter that by having your sermon with Bible verses. Have a lot of Bible verses in your sermon. And he said, you'll guarantee to please God. So check this out. If I were a monkey right here, right now, pressing a button and I gave you Bible verses, it is no longer a show or a performance. The moment you hear a verse from the Bible, I'm not being judged. I love you, but you're being judged by the word of God. And that makes me too. We are a church together. When I read the Bible, I'm being judged by the word of God. Are you with me on this? This service is definitely a service this morning for the believer. Pretty serious stuff Paul makes the announcement about. Look at verse 1 with me, chapter 4, verse 1. It may be as far as we get. We'll see. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, Paul sets them up by saying, let a man so consider us. Draw a circle around that. This is what I'm to do. Okay, what is it? He says, consider us, number one, as servants of Christ, and number two, stewards of the ministry or mysteries, excuse me, of God. Stewards of the mysteries of God. Two words stand out instantly. Servants and stewards. Watch this. Look at verse one. Let the church at Corinth and Chino Hills consider us. Who is us? Apollos, he is saying. Paul, Peter, or Cephas, it reads in your Bible. That's another name for Peter. This is how you are to look at us. You say, oh, wow, what's he gonna say? Well, you see the word servant as servants of who? Christ. Well, wait a minute, Pastor, aren't you supposed to serve me? According to the Bible, I'm supposed to serve Christ. And that's how I serve you. So you see, that's why the title of the message is, how can we, pastors, ministers, servants, those of this church, children's ministry, greeters, ushers, parking lot ministry, how do we serve you? One way, by serving Christ. That's the only way it's going to work. Can you imagine for a moment if we all took a poll? Imagine if we took a poll. Well, why don't we just take a poll? If there's 3,000 people sitting here right now, there would be 6,000 opinions. How do you do that? There's only one way to do that, to serve Christ. Listen, with all due respect, I know that we live in a republic. But the truth of the matter is, the church resides under a monarchy. And Jesus is the king. It's all about King Jesus. And so Paul says, what am I to do with you Corinthians? Well, there's one thing that I'm to do. I'm to be a servant of Christ. You see the word servant? It's the word in Greek, huperetes. You need to mark this word down. Huperetes. You say, what is that? The word is a lower level oarsman, a rower on a Roman galley, on a Roman ship, either a merchant ship or a warship. It's the lower level of rowers. You say, what is that? Who cares? Well, because if you are on the lower level of rowers, there is a top level of rowers. And the Roman rower, oarsman, was a man condemned to death. He was a slave. He was chained to his seat. He was not getting up. He sat on wooden slats. When he died, they unchained him and threw him overboard and replaced him with another prisoner. Do you see why? If you have to be a prisoner, you wouldn't want to be a Hooperades. Because not only are you rowing like the other guys, you're under the other guys who can't go anywhere. And so when they went to the bathroom, they went to the bathroom on you. There was no clean, pristine little American standard toilet thing on the boats. There were no urinals. You were the under oarsman. Paul could have used a different word. He said, I am a rower on a ship, and I'm on the lower level. Can you picture that in your mind's eye for a moment? Paul says, that's ministry. That it happens to you. But I'm serving God. You're going to get dumped on. But I'm serving God. Well, you know what? You're going to get it. You say, Pastor, I don't like that picture this morning. Tough. That's the pit. He could have used a different word. That's the word he used. So we are going to be taking sign-ups today after service. I'm joining the ministry of Hooperates. Come and row with me. Paul uses a tremendous word. And then he uses the word stewards. This is a great word. The word stewards means that you are responsible for your master's possessions. You don't own them. And in the end, you're to give them back to him in better shape than you've received them. Protect it all through your life and then present it to him at the end when he calls for them. Paul says, that's what we are in the ministry. We're oarsmen and we're stewards. And it's an amazing thing that he sets up before the mind and the eyes of the Corinthian church, because it was all about Greece. It was all about their worldview. It was all about intelligence, all about oratory skills, all about putting on a show. We'll see this later, probably next week, when we get to that word spectacle, which is our word today, theater. Paul says, we've been made a spectacle to the world. And you think, oh, how cool is that? Oh, no, no. Western mindset. Wrong set. Wrong view. Change set. An under oarsman. So the first thing we'll look at this morning is in verses 2-5. And it is this. How can we serve you? Paul says we serve you best by being faithful. Will you mark that down? By being faithful. Jesus said in Luke 16 verse 10. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in more or much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to you the trust of true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? Faithfulness. Paul says here that we need to be faithful. How can I best serve you? Number one is to be faithful to God. You say, well, yeah, you go, Pastor. You totally condemn yourself. You crucify yourself, Pastor. You go for it. Wait a minute. Don't raise your hand, but are you a Christian today? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, we're all in this together. I happen to be standing up here 3 feet above you, when in reality I should be 3 feet beneath you, rowing this boat, right? But we're in this together. You say, well, whatever. Well, if you could have raised your hand a moment ago as being a Christian, I want to ask you something. To what is it that you are being faithful? And I'm talking about more than the given things. The given things are your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, God, country. Those are given. But what else more as a body, as a church? There's a lot of people here right now. Why are you here? To be real Christians in an age like this, to make a real difference, to change the world and culture around you. Jesus said, be faithful in that thing that I've given you to do. And every Christian is to be faithful in something. And you might say, well, Pastor, I don't know what that something is. Guess what? I can give you the word of God. We have pastors on staff to disciple you, and we have ministries for you to get involved in. But we cannot make you do something. In fact, we wouldn't make you do something. We want you to talk to God. We want you to pray. We want you to speak to him. And guess what? He'll tell you what to do. That's what God does. He tells Christians what their marching orders are. What is it that you are to be rowing at? I'm not going to mention a certain person's name I have in my mind. Lisa and I were talking about her last night. She's faithful at this church, I think, I don't know, maybe a couple of weeks after this church started, back in the warehouse down the street. And every Sunday you can find her, a volunteer at the copier machine, serving without a voice, without a complaint, serving Jesus, faithful to Jesus. And the chairs, when you came in this morning, they're straight, the carpet, vacuumed, windows done. There's no, listen, staff members don't do this. That's done by volunteers who faithfully, without a name, without cameras, without lights, serve in this body. And they're faithful. And so Paul would say to us today, what are you faithful in? What thing is it in your life that the church needs you to do? It's my prayer that all of us who can raise our hands as Christians can also raise our hands as servants, as huperades, those that are serving, sometimes even unnoticed below the belly of the ship, serving that others might be blessed and that this ship might be underway. The Roman centurion met Jesus, and the Bible says in Matthew 8, verse 9, he says, "For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me." Listen to that. "And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." And Jesus goes on to say, this is great faith. That centurion understood that. The centurion was under order by Rome. He turns and speaks to another, and Jesus said, man, that's awesome, because I'm under the authority of my Father, and I turn to my disciples, and they do it. And that centurion, Gentile, got it. Huperades, being faithful. How so? Number one, this way, faithful to the commitment. Is there a commitment in your life that you're faithful to? In verse 2, it says, moreover, it is required in stewards. And you want to ask yourself this question, what is it in my life that I will answer to God about, that I will give to him about, that one may be found faithful? I want you to underline verse 2. That should be personally up front and foremost in your life, lived daily. If you have to put it on your mirror, honestly do it. Print it out and tape it onto your car or whatever it takes. Moreover, it is required in stewards that one be found faithful. Verse 3, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, says Paul. That almost sounds arrogant. Paul says, I'm not listening to you and I'm not even listening to me. Of course, it's not arrogance that he's talking about. Listen, church, listen. He's talking about a commitment that he knows about that God has laid on his shoulder. To live a life that he's required to be faithful to it. This is what God's called me to do. Can you say that? You want to be able to say that. And when it comes, by the way, look what he says. He says, but with me it is a very small thing that I should be judged by you. He's telling the Corinthians, it doesn't matter what you guys think of me, Paul is saying to them. It's invalid. It's a small thing. And he says it's a small thing that I should be judged by a human court. Why? You guys, do we not all have opinions and judgments on matters and issues? Of course we do. We're humans. We live in a dangerous age right now. People can get on the internet and judge you, and you won't even know about it. They can say all manner of evil against you, and you may never know. And here's the big thing now. People are taking pictures of you, and they're taking your face and putting your face on the body of someone else, and then uploading it to the universe with your name on it. So that's not happening to me. How do you know? We live in an evil age. A dangerous age. See, why do you bring that up? Because humans, we have no capability of clearly judging anything. God is the ultimate judge. So much so that Paul the Apostle says, I don't even judge myself. You say, man, that sounds kind of arrogant. Well, first of all, let's be honest. First of all, there is never a shortage of judges when it comes to a ministry. I mean, let's be honest. There's no shortage of volunteers when it comes to judging stuff. Here's what Paul says. I can't be moved by that. That's what he's saying. Church, listen. This is for your strengthening. He says, you can't be moved by that. You guys, when someone comes up and criticizes you, how do you deal with it? Are you so committed to Jesus that the criticism, though it may sting brutally, you've got to take it and put it behind you? That you, are you listening?
Yes.
Yeah, but are you guys listening over there? That you're so committed to what he's called you to do. That when somebody says, you talk too short. I've never heard that one for me, but you talk too long. Or this, or you talk too fast. Or some lady wrote me a letter. Maybe you're here today. And she wrote me a letter. She goes, I can't listen to you anymore. I didn't even ask you to listen to me. First of all, she said, I cannot tolerate the tone or pitch of your voice any longer. Ma'am, I cannot tolerate the tone or pitch of my voice any longer. I don't like the way, I didn't sign up for this. Wouldn't you, I would love to sound like, who's that guy that was Darth Vader? James Earl Jones. Wouldn't that be great? Or Sean Connery, talking like Sean Connery. Turn your Bibles to James chapter 3. It's like, no, I got this squeaky Kermit the Frog voice. I know that. I hear it all the time. What is that supposed to prove? I can't do anything about that. But I tell you this, the only confidence I have is the commitment that Christ has called me to. And for you, you want to say, you know, Pastor, I want that. You want to hear from the Lord and be used in the body of Christ, all of you. Imagine there's enough people in this room right now to completely change the state of California. To come or leave, get out of this church and be so absolutely understanding. This is my commitment to Christ. I'm going to stand for righteousness. I'm not going to win a popularity contest. Get that in your mind and throw it out right now. You will not win.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a study called, How Can We Serve You? It's really a mini-series that takes a look at the first 14 verses of 1 Corinthians chapter 4, where Paul declares that we as believers are servants and stewards. In other words, believers are called to be givers, not takers. Again, the title, How Can We Serve You? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse look at this New Testament letter written by Paul. And we'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Listen, if you haven't had a chance to visit us lately at realradioactive.org, why don't you pay a visit as soon as you sit down at the computer? Of course, you can hear past editions of Real Radio. You can email your questions to Ask Pastor Jack. You could also learn about our Real Radio Book of the Month. But you can also subscribe to Words to the Wise. That's Pastor Jack's devotional, which you can subscribe to and get via email. More and more Real Radio listeners are subscribing and writing to Pastor Jack, letting him know how Words to the Wise really is playing a key role in their growth and scriptural understanding. Here's how one Words to the Wise subscriber expressed his appreciation. He says, "Thank you, Pastor Jack, for all that you do. I personally look forward to the Words to the Wise devotional that you put together because it's a compact thought that's biblically based and gives me something to meditate upon throughout the day. May God richly bless you and your family and cover our church in His grace." Sign up to get Words to the Wise when you get a chance. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And then click on the button at the right there that says devotional. realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.